that what he's done before, he can do again. Isn't it good to know that what he done for the saints of old, he still does for the saints today? Amen. It's just good to know that God is able and God can do all things. Extended nurseries dismissing in the back to go down. Little ones want to go down, they're welcome. They want to stay in the service, they're welcome. Children, do not bother me one bit. Amen. And if they bother you, you need to get over it. Amen. They are the church that's going to take your place. Amen. When you're going. Amen. And they need to be made to feel welcome in the worship service. And I know sometimes they fidget and they fuss around. But praise God, if you would look at it as a blessing instead of a hindrance, God would change your heart and change your mind on it. Amen. I tell you what, some of the things they do just flat just cracks me up. Amen. And they let me know that there's no shame in worshiping God. They have no compulsion about doing or saying something when they want to, and God just uses them in a great way. Turn in your Bibles this morning into Matthew chapter number 22. Please do not forget revival service every night this week at 7 o'clock. Brother Robbie Mulinax is going to be with us. Brother Robbie is just a man been used of God tremendously. His ministry, his work is smuggling Bibles into China. Amen. Getting Bibles into China. And he does it by means that are illegal as he promotes. He said it's not illegal to do what he does, but the things that they carry sometimes get rejected and get turned away, get turned back. But he is struggling to get the Word of God into the Asian countries where the Word of God has not been permitted and is not prevalent. And we have seen videos of people in China receiving Bibles and just the tears and just how they kiss the Bibles and they hug them and how they just thank the folks that have sent the Word of God to them. And Brother Robbie is going to be a tremendous blessing to you. He grew up in Tabernacle Baptist Church under the pastorship of Dr. Harold Seitler. If you've never heard of Dr. Harold Seitler, just go on YouTube and just go on your computer, do a Google search or Harold Seitler, and you'll come up with all kinds of Harold Seitler quotes that preachers use today. And Brother Robbie grew up there, and he became music minister in Tabernacle Baptist Church, and God has just used him tremendously. He's a great singer. I'm going to try to get him to sing at least one song every night. We have great singing lined up for the week, and I'm looking forward to it. We got Mason Dixon going to come sing for us, Brother Chad Karshner, and some of his family is going to sing with us. Sister Vicki Karshner and her girls are going to be singing for us. Surrender is going to be singing for us. On Wednesday night, we're going to have some of the church folks singing. The Cato family is going to sing one night. The McGill family is going to sing one night. Amen. We're going to have to just limit it to one so we can let everybody have an opportunity to sing. And then if some of our young people want to sing individually, we're going to allow them. We're trying to focus on young folks in this revival and our singing. And, you know, we got all the old standby groups that we used all the time. But I like to see these young people getting involved. And I had two young ladies come to me this morning asking me about the words of the song. That excited my heart. Amen. You know, I'm so used to having to stand up here and beg young people to sing. And I had two come and ask me for words to a song. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for that. I get them to sing one and get Sister Amber and Alyssa. You guys going to sing one? Amen. Get you guys to sing. And we got to be mindful of time. So try to limit it down and figure out what you're going to do. But we're just looking for a good time in the Lord this week. How many's planning on being here? Amen. Oh, come on. It's revival. How many's going to make an effort and plan on being here? Amen. All right. Now, we got some things. Folks like to feed the preacher when he's in. I've got him covered for Monday night. I don't know when he's getting in. I'll take care of Monday night. And then on Wednesday, I'm taking him up to Sight and Sound to see Moses. And we're going to have lunch after that. And I don't know if he's how full he's going to be. He may want something after service. If anybody would like to take him Wednesday night, let me know. But I got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are available that I know of. If you'd like to feed the preacher that night, don't feel obligated. It's a blessing to feed the preacher. It's a blessing to spend time with the evangelists and the singers and different missionaries and stuff when they come. And if, you know, If you don't want to, that's all right. I enjoy the blessing. Amen. It always is a blessing. And give you the opportunity. So if you'd like to take one of those nights, just be mindful of the fact that you got to be here. The preacher needs to eat early enough to be able to be here in time for the service, and to have just a few minutes before the service to get ready and after the meal. So don't plan on eating at 6 o'clock and the service starting at 7 and trying to rush to be here. Amen. But if you'd like to feed him one night, I know he'll be a blessing to you. And hopefully he'll bring some CDs with him. Amen. And so just pray that God lays it upon his heart to load some CDs in that car. I meant to tell him and bring him with him. Him and his family have a CD out. And he had one out the last time he was here just by himself. And we appreciated that and are looking forward to it and excited about that. We better get started. The hour's already drawn late. If you'd stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word in Matthew chapter number 22, begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is the image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way." Brother Jim King. Amen. You may be seated. This is one of the events that has occurred during what some folks call Passion Week, or the week that Jesus entered Jerusalem on on Palm Sunday, and was crucified Friday and died for us. And praise God, aren't you glad that he was willing to die? Amen. Aren't you glad that he was willing to come and live in this old low land of sin and sorrow and die on an old rugged cross for folks like you and I? But during the course of that week, Jesus began teaching many lessons and many parables unto the folks as they came to the temple, and the religious crowd, the Pharisees, realized that many of the messages that were preached, many of the parables that were taught, many of the things that they were said were directly related to them, and were not painting them in a bright light, and were not painting them in a pretty picture. And Jesus indeed cared not for religion. I don't care a whole lot for religion myself. Amen. Religion has ruined a whole lot of people. Religion has sent a whole lot of people into the depths of hell. But praise God, when you got a relationship, amen, when you got fellowship with the Lord, you have a different outlook and you see things through a different light and in a different way. And the Bible tells us that they got frustrated at Jesus, and they were trying to find a way that they might condemn him, and they might catch him in the things that he taught, and condemn him unto death. And they sought for that, and they'd been seeking for that for some time, sending people out just to probe him and just to try him and just to see what was going on. And this time, as they sent the group out, they sent the group of Pharisees with the Herodians along with them to go out. Now, if you don't understand that, there's something wrong in this picture. There's something wrong that's going on here, and we're going to preach on some of these things. But as they began to tempt Jesus and began to try to entangle him and ensnare him, Jesus knew their thoughts, called them what they were, a bunch of hypocrites, both groups and both parties. He said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." And I say the same thing today. Give the world the things that are the world's, but give God the things that are God's. Amen. And God wants your heart. He wants your whole heart. He wants your complete heart. And that's what we owe Him today. That's what I need to give unto Him today. You see, there's nothing that we have that belongs to us. It all belongs to Him anyway. Even David, as he was preparing the offerings and preparing the things to build the first tabernacle or the first temple. There you go, Brother Jim. Thank you. I think it's in 2 Chronicles, back there, as they're gathering the things and the people are bringing the free will offering in, the people are giving. David says, Lord, thank you for allowing us to give this, that belongs to you, that which you have given unto us to build this palace. That's why I couldn't think of the temple, because David was talking about building a palace unto the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. Serves a palace. We call it the temple. They called it the temple, but it was a palace. It was made for the King of the universe and the King of the world to dwell in. And David said, all that we give is yours. You know, all that we have in this world belongs to God anyway. The only thing that He's given us a free reign over, the only thing that He allows us to have control of, is our own heart. He gave that to us freely, and He wants us to freely give it unto Him. Amen? And that's what He said, render unto Caesar the things that are, you know, the things of this world belong to the world. But unto God, the things that are God's. Amen? I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. The coin says it all. The coin says it all. What coin are you? Amen? What is your life in comparison? Look at the first few verses here, verses 15 to 17. It says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle Him in His talk. And they sent out unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that Thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest Thou for any man, for Thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest Thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? They had devised this scheme among them that they were just going to get together and do something. Now, you have two groups here that are coming. They're coins that don't match. They're coins that are contrary to one another. Let me just give you an example of that. If I pull a dollar out of my pocket, I kind of have an idea of what it's worth. It has a value of $1. Now I can pull. When I was in Italy, I just had a hard time dealing with things in Italy. I went to buy a meal one time, and the guy told me what it was going to cost. I said, "Forget it," and got walking down the street. I just wanted a simple meal. I started eating that food on the ship, and I went to get me a good meal, and that guy told me it's going to be 3 million lira. I said, forget it. Forget it. I left and got walking down the street, and I'm counting up. Well, 3 million lira was only a couple of dollars. Hey, man, it just sounded, and in my mind, and in my idea, it was just so foreign to me that I couldn't put the two together. You know, and I had the hardest time everywhere you went. You know, you went to get something. That's 15 million lira. 15 million lira. You know, that's about $7.50. You know what I mean? But, you know, they're talking millions. You know, I'm just a poor old country boy that don't have anything. Sometimes it's all we could do to scrape up enough money to buy a Slurpee at the end of the month and share it between us. That's no lie. And things were that tight, and they're talking about millions of lira. But it was nothing. In comparison to a dollar, it was nothing. Amen. They were just so far apart from one another. It was unbelievable and unconceivable. That's the way the Pharisees and the Herodians really are in true life. You see, the Pharisees, they want a complete religious rule. They want religious control. They want religious power. And the Herodians, they are the minions of Rome. They're happy that the Romans have put Herods and the Herods in power. They're happy that Rome is in control. They're the government. They're the civil side. Amen. They want civil rule. They want Rome. They're happy with the way Rome is doing things. And they don't mind telling Rome. And they don't mind just letting Rome know how happy they are that they're able to be called Roman citizens and be a providence of Rome. But then the Pharisees on the other hand, they hate the Romans. They want the Romans out because the Romans have taken away their power. The Romans have taken away their ability to have complete rule and complete sway. And they can't even declare a death to someone without the Romans allows them to sentence someone to death. Now, and they're so diametrically opposed, it's unreal, but yet now they come together. Does this sound familiar? Look at the world around you. Look at what's transpiring. Look at what religion is doing. Religion is crawling right to the doorstep of the government and saying, whatever you want is what we're willing to do. Whatever you want is what's going to happen. And now these two have come together and they've come seeking to destroy Christ, to entangle him in his teachings, to entangle him in his words. You know what? The government is watching. The government is listening. The government is desiring to destroy the church in America today. The church in America today is happy to accept whatever the government wants to give them. They sign up for programs. They sign up for grants. They sign up for this. And once you sign up for a government grants, and once you agree to accept government money, you accept the government's control of your church and of your organization. You fall under their guidelines. Amen? Now you have to accept things that are biblically, doctrinally, scripturally taught. We see it happening every day. I get 3 or 4 emails a week. Sometimes the people want me to sign up or want me to hire them to allow them to file for all these grants that are available to us as a church and these grants that we could use and these grants that we could do this and we could do that. But we're not going to do it because the coins don't agree. Hey, Matt. The coins are diametrically opposed as to what is the final authority and what is the rule. I'm glad we got a constitution, but when the constitution steps outside of the bounds of thus saith the word of God, we're diametrically opposed. Amen. I'm glad we got civil law and civil order, but when civil law falls outside of the bounds of the laws of God, the moral laws of God, and the spiritual laws of God, we're diametrically opposed. But we got many in our churches today that want to walk in unison with the world. Amos said, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amen. I can't accept what the world has. I can't accept what the world is trying to throw my way. When we got a pharisaical religious group that's self-righteous, self-religious, and they're hypocritical in their walk before God. We got a civil group like the Herodians. They're self-serving political minions of the powers that be. But praise God, they met Jesus. Amen. And when they met Jesus, they found out that they had met their match. They found out that they had met the one that didn't agree with either side and wouldn't agree to either side. The self-sacrificing, self-delivering Savior who came to die for mankind. And praise God, I'll tell you what, I'll take one who's willing to sacrifice himself over those who want to serve themselves any day. He sent them. They sent them out to harass Jesus. They sent them out to try to destroy Jesus. But Jesus destroyed them. They went away marveling. They went away shaking their head. They went away realizing that they'd met their match. Let me tell you what. When the world comes against you And you let Jesus do the fighting. The world has been its match. When the devil comes against you and you let Jesus speak for you, the devil has been his match. You say, well, how do I do that, preacher? How do I do that? It's by praying and seeking God's face, amen. It's by getting in the Word of God. And when the devil comes your way, you can say, thus saith the Word of God, just like Jesus did, and you'll defeat the devil. You'll send him a fleeing. Amen. Because he cannot stand. And he cannot fight, and he cannot hinder the truth of God's word. Not only were the coins diametrically opposed, and the coins didn't match, and the coins said a whole lot about who they were because of their affiliations. The coin reveals unto whom it belongs. Verse 18, it says, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? You know, sometimes we think we got things all figured out. Sometimes we think we're doing this on our own. But let me tell you something, your life reveals more about you than what you really realize. The coin actually revealed who it belonged to. Anybody got a quarter? Nickel? You do, man? I ain't got no money. Look, can I borrow a quarter off you? Just a coin. Bigger, better. Look. That nickel come out of Rick's pocket. Hey, man. You know who it belongs to? Huh? Joy. You know, you might have something there. Hey, man. I was going to say the government, but you might have usurped that, Brother Calvin. Hey, man. It's in Rick's pocket, but it belongs to the government. Hey, man. It belongs to the United States government. You do not believe that? Go up to the bank and get all the nickels that you can get, that you want to get, and try to do something with them nickels that the U.S. government said that you're not allowed to do, and you'll find out who they belong to real quick. Start defacing them. Amen? Start doing something else with them, and you'll find out that that belongs to Uncle Sam. They asked Jesus, should we pay taxes? He said, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. One of you here don't believe we should pay taxes anyway. The other ones here believe that we owe all to Caesar. He said, but give me the coin. And let me answer it this way. He says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. Oh, it's got Caesar's image. It bears Caesar's inscription, Tiberius Caesar, a deity, a god, is what it literally says on the coin. It belonged to him, just like this belongs to the government. He allows us to use it and to trade in it and to have it and... I wasn't sure whether I need to give it to him or Joanne. Hey, man, Joanne was looking at me kind of funny. Hey, man. But in fact, the coin, the inscription, spoke multitudes and spoke volumes about who it belonged to. It belonged to Caesar. It will reveal itself just like the individual life will reveal itself unto who it belongs. In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, for there's no respect of persons with God. Amen. You know, Jesus, when he picked that coin up, he wasn't afraid to use the coin. It belonged to Caesar. He said, give it to Caesar. It's his. It has no meaning unto me whatsoever. It belongs to Caesar. If I got to pay taxes, here's the coin. Pay the taxes. If I owe him tribute. It's his. Give it back to him. Give Caesar the things that are his. And he said, it's not a big deal. And he looks at us, and he looks at our hearts, and he says, it's no big deal. I can see who the heart belongs to. I can tell whose it is. And I don't respect the person. I don't respect their bank accounts. I don't respect the works that they do and the things that they accomplish. He said, because I'm looking at the heart. For as many as have sinned under or without the law also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts that the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. But the last verse, verse 16, he says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus according to my gospel. You know what he's saying there? Let me just make this real simple for you. He said, some people say that everything's all right in my life because I'm religious in my actions. He said they'll be judged by the things that they have claimed upon their lives that they don't possess. He said some folks have received the law, that the law is written in their hearts, and they live by the law, and they function by the law, and they work according to the law, and he says by the law they're going to be justified. Just like the Christian today, there's folks that claim to be Christians, and they come into churches, and they live all across America claiming to be Christians, but Christ does not abide in their hearts. And he knows. He's not fooled. And like the Pharisees and the Herodians, we try to play church and we try to play Christian and we try to fool God. But when he looks at us, he knows who we belong to. He knows beyond a shadow of a doubt. And Paul said we'll be judged according to that knowledge. We'll be judged according to that law. We'll be judged according to that gospel that's been preached. Whether God abides in our heart and in our life. Whether the blood of Christ has been applied. He sees it and he knows it. It reveals because it's engraven. The image that it bears speaks multitudes to a lost and a dying world. The image that it bears speaks multitudes in the glory world. He says, show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. You see, when God is in our heart and God looks at this old coin standing before you, he sees what's been graven on my heart. He sees the image of his son. Thank God he don't see me. Amen. Thank God he don't look at me and he don't judge me on me, but he looks at me and he sees his son. He looks at me and he sees his son in my heart and in my life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 21 and 22, it says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us. And God, praise God, I'm glad I'm anointed. Amen. I'm glad I've been touched. I'm glad my heart has been changed. Who has sealed us and given the earnest of our spirit, of his spirit in our hearts. Praise God. God. What that meant. He sealed us in the old days when something important was taking a place or being sent. A letter was being sent away. The king would place his seal upon it. His image would be bore witness wherever that letter went until the time that it was opened. Praise God, he has sealed me. Have you ever had to go have a legal document notarized, praise God, and they dragged their seal out and they punched this seal and it says that this legal document was signed or was taken care of in my sight and in my presence, and here is my seal that denotes who I am. Here is my seal that gives my authority. Here is my seal that places my claim upon this document, that it's authentic. And praise God, the Bible says that he has sealed me. His image is on me, and when he looks at me, praise God, he don't see me, but he sees Jesus. But the problem is, what does the world see? Amen. He knows I'm his. I bear his image. He knows I'm his because the seal's upon me. But folks, we're getting to the place where it's getting hard to distinguish what belongs to him. Amen. I was reading an article the other day in Sword of the Lord. Brother Harvey, if they're back there, get them handed out if you would. Amen. There's still a few back there, I think. Brother Dr. Shelton Smith wrote an article in there about where's the beef. And described something that I thought was ironically true. The church is no longer the place of worship. Amen? The church no longer is looked at as a place where God is revered and God is reverenced. Amen? Oh, I'm glad that here at Charlestown, folks come. Come to worship God. Come to worship the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen? But for so many people, for our government, it's become a welfare agency. Amen. People have problems and go to the government. The government says, call Charlestown Baptist Church. They'll give you money. And the only reason people want to come to the house of God is because they want money. Amen. Some people come because they got saved out of the world. They got saved out of all the entertainment. They got saved out of all that sin has to offer. And folks, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. And praise God, they come to the house of God and they want the house of God to be like where they just left. Amen. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Praise God, there's a different kind of entertainment going on down here. There's a different kind of stirring of hearts going on down here. Praise God. We get stirred by Jesus instead of by drugs. We get stirred by Jesus instead of by drinks. We get stirred by gospel music instead of the music of this world. And praise God, it's time that we see the church house for a place that we worship and we honor and we praise God. It's not a social club where we come to see and be seen. It's a place where we come to have a relationship and fellowship with Jesus. It's not a political action place or a club or a group or whatever you want to call it, where we come and we decide we're going to go protest and we're going to go picket and we're going to do this and that. It's a place where we come to lift up Jesus and to honor him and glorify him. It's not a place where the world comes just to see some strange things are going on and see things happening the way that they want them to happen. But praise God, it's a place where Jesus is sought and Jesus is found. Amen. We've turned our churches into addiction centers. Amen. And we teach them 12-step programs. They might work on the outside, but let me tell you what, if one who's addicted will take a one step toward Jesus, praise God, he'll lead them the rest of the way, and he'll help them to find the help that they need. He'll help them to find the deliverance that they need. He'll help them to realize that they don't need to trade one drug for another drug and stay addicted, that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, praise God. Some people come because they look at for somebody to bestow pity upon them, and they want a pity party. How about coming and praising Jesus? How about coming for the reason that the church is here, the local assembly, that we can gather and we can encourage and we can help and we can lift up the name of Jesus together. Amen. Christian. Amen. Jonathan Buckner said, I think, you know, gospel music ought to have a little gospel in it. Amen. I like that. I like that. But I tell you what, church members, get this now, listen. Church members ought to be members of the church. Amen. Blood washed, blood bought, baptized, redeemed, sanctified in Christ Jesus, bearing His image the whole world around. Amen. It's time for the church to get back to being what it should be and what it was intended to be. We should be new creatures in Christ. The old man crucified. Witnesses of Christ through the whole world. We need to be prayer warriors and soldiers of the cross for Christ Jesus. We need to be seen by the world as the enemy. We need to be seen by the world as the other side. As the other group, we need to be seen by the world as peculiar because we bear the image of Christ in our hearts and in our lives everywhere that we go. Amen. The coin speaks a whole lot. The question this morning, what's it say about you? It says, render unto Caesar things that are Caesar's. He said, but unto God the things that are God's. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song of invitation.